Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
We may have some more people coming, and if they come, they're welcome to join us, and if not, we'll miss them. So, in the meantime, we'll look forward to worshiping together and celebrating Jesus. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that we can come to you tonight and worship and celebrate your love and your kindness and your goodness, your grace, your mercy, all your many attributes that are beyond enumeration, more than we can list. And we just give you praise and glory. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here tonight to show us, Father, to introduce us to Jesus afresh. And may we give glory and honor and praise to the awesome name of our living God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's sing. If you ever have any doubt, any questions, how much God loves you. Just remember that Jesus went to the cross for you, for each of us. That's love that goes beyond description and beyond comprehension. So that's a testimony you'd like to share tonight.
Official until Tuesday, but I've been named the principal of Christian High School starting June 1st.
Congratulations.
July
1st. All right. Well done. Chrisfield High has an excellent principal.
I'll hold the place until I get.
I said, come. Oh, I see. You'll hold it till he gets there. No, you'll be in it when he gets there. So now we'll pray for an excellent vice principal for you. Treats you the way you treated yours. I don't know if you've noticed how much better the lawn looks the last month or so. Somebody's been doing just an awesome job, and it's not me. And so thank you, Pat.
Wow.
You're doing great.
Wow.
Appreciate it. Wow. We appreciate your being willing to help. Happy to have you part of us.
Thank you.
I drove up here this morning. I'm trying to think if I drove up here yesterday or for some reason. But I just saw how nice the yard looks. It's trimmed. It's the flower bed, the ivy bed is gone. It's just looking really good. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Isaiah had a surprise this week. He got a new cast, and we were expecting that it was going to be a hard cast, but it is a removable cast, which means he can get it wet and it can dry, which means we went to the beach yesterday.
All right. Yay, Isaiah.
Something we were not expecting. So.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Technology has even come ahead in casts.
Well, it's the advantage that we have with having had the surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
But still.
Yes.
You know, back when I was his age,
right,
there was a plaster Paris cast, period.
Yeah.
And
time.
it would have been from up here down past to the fingers. Thankfully, I never had one, but I've had friends that did, and I saw them from a distance.
But I smelled them from a distance.
Yeah. So, and I understand they itched because of the sun. That was not a pleasant experience. Not that this is a pleasant experience, but it's better. So we're thankful for that. All right, let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, buying money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lydia, do you want to pass the basket to me? Isn't it nice to be alive?
Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices throughout. Anyone interested in a children's story? I brought one just in case. I'm looking for my children's story. I have it on Facebook. I came across this in the process. I leave my house a mess, so when my friends visit, they go home feeling better about their own housekeeping skills. I'm just that good of a friend. I'll have to explain to Anza what I'm doing when she gets home to me. Oh, no, maybe it better not. Okay. Did you guys ever watch someone do something and you thought, that's strange, why did they do that? Or why did they do it that way? There's easier ways to do it. I should go tell them an easier way to do it. There's easier ways to break your arm. It's like, I thought about, you know, I took a picture of my friend and I sent it to them on Messenger of the, I guess I had a band-aid on my lip after I put the fish hook in my lip last week. And then I thought about taping one of those jig heads to my lip, just letting it hang, taking a picture of that, using a flesh-colored kind of tape, so maybe you just think it would revamp it, saying, I thought you'd like to see what it looked like, and then said, oh, shucks, now I got to go back to my credit. But but I didn't do that. I didn't think you'd maybe want to see that. That's one of those things that would be kind of silly to do. Why would anybody do something like that? Well, we sometimes judge people by the way they do things or something they've said, and we don't understand what's really happened. So I want you to listen to this story and think about that, okay? That's short. It's just a short story. A young couple moved into a new neighborhood. And the next morning, while they were eating breakfast, the young woman saw her neighbor hanging the washing outside on the clothesline. That laundry is not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Perhaps she needs better laundry soap. Her husband looked on, remaining silent. Every time her neighbor hung her washing out to dry, the young woman made the same comments. A month later, the woman was surprised to see a nice, clean wash on the line and said to her husband, look, she's finally learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her this. The husband replied, I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows. And so it is with life. What we see when watching others depends on the clarity of the window through which we look. So don't be too quick to judge others, especially if your perspective of life is clouded by anger, jealousy, negativity, or unfulfilled desires. Judging a person does not define who they are. It defines who you are. Okay? So sometimes people have a very good reason for what they do and why they do it. And sometimes we just don't understand because we're not seeing clearly. We thought we were, but we weren't. So Jesus said that we're not to judge people. He was right. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you see clearly and that you are the just and right judge. And we don't. So we're choosing to leave the judging to you. And Jesus told us simply to love people, not to judge them. So I pray for these children that they will learn to love people just like you do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for your attention. I try to have my children's stories tie in with the sermon, but tonight, if it does, it's by accident. I've been known already to find what I thought was a great children's story and wrap a sermon around it. But I didn't do that tonight. So it just, I just like that story. Why is it there? I'll be there. Ephesians chapter 1. Take a whole new track and tact tonight from where we've been the past months and while. And Ephesians is an epistle. Do you know what an epistle is? Some children in a young Sunday school class were asked what an epistle was, and one of the children raised their hand and said, I know, teacher. Okay, what is it? It's the life of an apostle. An epistle is the life of an apostle. No, that's not what an epistle is. Who wants to tell me what an epistle is? E-P-I-S-T-L-E. Okay.
It's a letter.
Very good. And it's a letter, in this case, that's in the Bible. And many of the letters were written by the Apostle Paul. And there's a certain structure to these letters, and you'll see it's common to most of the epistles. And the epistles that are in the Bible are letters that were written to specific churches or groups of people. And usually it was for a specific reason. It was to correct maybe some false teaching or practices in the church, or it was for teaching to encourage them to live correctly and to understand salvation correctly or something about God correctly. And so Ephesians has that form. And when we write a letter, we started out, we might have the date at the top of the page, and then we would put Dear Ruth, or Dear Pat, or Dear Carla, or the person's name that we're writing the letter to. Well, they don't do that way here. The first thing that happens is we have the name of the author. So instead of signing it Love Earl or Sincerely Earl, it would say the way this says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. So we first identify the author, and the author of this letter is the Apostle Paul. He says he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Now, an apostle, that's an interesting term. We've always heard of an apostle as being one who is a church planter, but then he's in charge of a number of churches. And he's maybe an overseer over a geographic area. It could be over the United States, or it could be over Northeast states. That's what we've thought. But I recently came across a definition of apostle that I think is more accurate, and I like it. In Roman times, an apostle was one who was sent ahead to conquer a territory and then to introduce the culture of his native country, the conquering country, and to make it so much like the mother country that if the king came to visit in that country, he would feel at home. So think about that as the Apostle Paul. His job was to go into an area and to convert the people to Christianity, and then to so indoctrinate them into the Christian life that when God shows up, he feels at home. It's like heaven on earth. Whoa, that's quite an undertaking. It's quite a task. But that was Paul's job. So then the next thing in this letter form that we read is who it's written to. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not two different groups of people. That's two ways of saying the same group. They're holy people, they're faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of us, if he wrote this to God's holy people in Pokemon, the faithful in Christ Jesus, would we think he was writing that letter to us, to me? Am I a holy person? Am I faithful in Christ Jesus? And at other places, he would say, and maybe another translation I didn't check, would say it this way even for Ephesians, to the saints in Ephesus or in Philippi or whatever town, city, or in Pokemon. And would we include ourselves in that number? That's a question I think we should ask ourselves, because yes, we should be holy people. The word holy means set apart. It means it has a special use, a special purpose. We are holy people. We have been set apart to worship and to live for our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so, yes, we're saints, because we've been saved by grace. We'll come to that another time. But we're holy people because we're set apart. Not because we're perfect, not because we never sin, but because we're set apart. We're different than the people around us. We're faithful in Christ Jesus. And then there's a greeting. And this greeting is grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. What a greeting. What a salutation. What a blessing. Grace and peace to you. That's like saying, may you have grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what grace is. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Unmerited. We didn't earn it. We didn't get it because we deserved it. It was a gift. It was something God lavished on us. Something God said, I love you so much. I want you to have this. Here, this is yours. Why? What did I? This is yours. It's because I love you. It's because you're my child. It's because Daddy wants to give good things to his kids. And so just receive it. Unmerited favor and peace, rest, a lack of anxiety, contentment, described as I'm okay, I'm safe. I can relax. God's got it under control. I don't need to fret and stress anymore. Doesn't matter what we're facing. Doesn't matter what's going on around us. Remember the storm in the boat when the disciples thought they were going to drown and a lot of them were barmen? And where was Jesus? At sleep in the back of the boat, not at home in his bed, but on the same boat that's rocking and rolling and about to sink. The disciples are scared spitless and thinking they're going to die, and Jesus is at peace. He's in complete rest. He's relaxed. He's fine. He knows his God has it under control. Jesus said it this way. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. What a promise. We can have rest in the Lord. Wow. So God's unmerited favor and be yours. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'll take it. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He goes on. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Wow. He gave us just a tiny blessing, right? No. He blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And if you go back to the original language, to the Greek, and you look up that word every, it means, what it really means, is all of them, each of them, without any held back, every blessing, every spiritual blessing is ours. God gave it to us through Jesus. We can just receive it. Nothing we do to earn it. Okay? We don't earn grace. We don't earn peace. We don't earn spiritual blessings. We simply receive them because Father wants to give them to us. Listen to this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, how many of you are holy and blameless? How many of you are holy and blameless in God's sight? Okay. Let me ask it a different way. How many of you are your sins forgiven? Okay. If your sins are forgiven, God says, I remember your sins, no more. As the song goes, they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You don't think of God as being forgetful. but he doesn't remember your sins when they're under the blood of Jesus. If our sins are forgiven, we are holy and blameless in God's sight. And now let me ask you this. If God has forgiven you, what do you need to do with that sin? You need to forgive yourself, right? And if you haven't forgiven yourself, why in the world are you holding yourself to a higher standard than what God holds you to? God says your sin is gone. If God says your sin is gone, you got no business going back and trying to dig it up again. Let it go. It's gone. You owe nothing for it. So we can be holy and blameless in God's sight if we're forgiven. And we're forgiven if we confess our sins. God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he chose us in him before the creation of the world. The scripture says that it's God's will that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He chose us. He chose you. Now, did you choose him? See, going all the way back to the book of Judges, Numbers, I guess it is. People are going into the promised land. And Joshua stands before them. And he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think that's in the book of Joshua. It's like Joshua 1:8 or something like that. He didn't say, how many of you have been chosen by God to live for him? Okay, they were all chosen. We're all chosen. Are we going to respond to the choice? Are we going to accept the invitation that God makes to us to be his, to be holy and blameless in his sight? In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. The one he loves, that's in Christ Jesus. It's not the only one he loves, but it's the capital O one he loves. Okay? We've been adopted to sonship. Now, ladies, that's not meant to be sexist. Sons in the Jewish tradition are the only ones who had an inheritance. Daughters did not get an inheritance. They had to marry somebody so that they benefited from the inheritance of their husband. That's why marriage was so important, one of the reasons. So we have all been adopted to sonship by same meaning. We are all, male and female, entitled to an inheritance. We all inherit eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. We all inherit the blessings that God has, the spiritual blessings in heavenly places we read about. So whether you're a son or a daughter, your standing is equal to sonship. You're not a second-class citizen by any stretch of the imagination. Way, shape, or form. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Not that he gave out in an eyedropper, little drips and drops here and there. No, he lavished it on us. Here, grace to you, grace to you, grace and abundance. I've got more grace than I know what to do with. It's all yours. Well, he knows what to do with it all. You know what I mean? It's not in a tight measure. We don't have to be careful about using up our grace. Now, that being said, We don't sin more so grace can abound. Okay? We'll leave it at that. But we have redemption through the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus, according to God's grace. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Christ is the head. He's above all. He has a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. That's Philippians 2. And it's for God's good pleasure. What's the mystery of his will? That we're adopted to sonship. That we've been chosen. See, the mystery isn't a mystery anymore. It's been revealed. Jesus is the revelation. Jesus shows us the Father and the Father's heart. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you want to know what God's like, what his character is like, what his passion is like, look at Jesus. That's God. That's the Father. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. So you may hear people talk about predestination and the idea that some are predestined to be saved and others are predestined to be damned. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that God chose some of us to go to hell. I think we choose that. And we'll go back to Joshua. From early on, we had the freedom to choose. And we choose. And then Jesus says, baptize those who believe. And for God so loved the world, that if anyone believes in him, they will not perish. It doesn't say that if the elect believe in him, they will not perish, or if the chosen or if the predestined believe in him, they will. If anyone. So it's his will that none would perish. We were chosen. All of us are chosen. The people that are not here tonight have been chosen. They may or may not have chosen to respond yes. And how sad. If all they had to do was say yes. It was theirs for the taking. But they didn't take it. I have a story about that. I'll tell it. I have a child who is not here tonight. So that narrows it down. This is a child who is not usually here. So that eliminates Janelle. This child has been at this church because all my children have been at this church. So this child got into some driving situations where they got bad driving certificates, and they got a number of them in a short time, and their insurance became almost impossible to get. And I was told by my State Farm agent, who happened to be a pastor, don't get me going on that, that she was able to get insurance, but she was not allowed to drive any of my cars other than the one that was designated for her, because she would not be covered under that insurance in any of my other cars. So I heard that. And I implemented that, and I explained that to this child. And then I got a call from my agent who said, hey, we found a little better deal. It's not going to cost quite as much money. And he tells me that he told me that she can now drive any of the cars for me. And I did not understand that or remember that detail. So for the 6 months that this was going on, I implemented and strongly monitored, you drive one car. One time this child drove this car from like Lowe's to Walmart. And I said, that may not happen again. Well, at the end of the 6 months, we got back into the regular thing. And I said, well, good, now she can drive all the cars. So, oh, she could have done that all along. I said, what? I didn't know. Privilege was there that was unknown, and so it was not used. It was not appropriated. We have blessings in Christ Jesus that are ours that we don't know about. We have promises that are ours to accept and to act on that we don't know about. We only find out about them by reading the Word. We find out about them in our quiet time with the Lord as he brings a verse to light for us and shows us or whispers in our ear and tells us. And salvation is available. And if we don't know about it, how sad. Could have been mine. But I didn't know. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Wow. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you received the Holy Spirit. And God put a seal on your forehead at that time. Mark you with a seal. I get ahead of myself when I said it's on your forehead. We'll come to that. I'll show you where that is. And it's the promised Holy Spirit who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. I sell real estate, and so I understand deposits guaranteeing things. When you write a contract to buy a house, you write a check as an earnest money deposit saying, I'm serious about buying this house. And if you don't honor the contract, you lose that deposit check. That's what a deposit is. And so God has given us a deposit, promising us our full salvation. And that promise is, that deposit is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's a seal. You were marked in him with a seal. Now, Revelation talks about marks. It talks about this seal of the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 9:4, they were told, this is on the third trumpet, I think it is. They were told, this was an angel, they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So at this time in Revelation, you had to have the seal of God on your forehead. What is that seal of God? Well, we just read about it. It said, when you believe, you were marked in him with a seal. So you don't need to worry about getting this seal in time for what's happening in Revelation. Because I believe that what's happening in Revelation is today. We're living in that time of tribulation. And we have to have the seal, the mark of the seal of God on our foreheads, the promised Holy Spirit, okay, today. And if you look, you can see it in people. You've seen it. There's just kind of a vibrancy. There's a life there. There's a joy. There's just a peace, okay? It's not a cross. It's not a star. It's not a number. It's the attitude of the heart that just shines forth. It's the way that person lives. It's the way that person speaks. It's the peace that comes when I'm in their presence. I know that the Holy Spirit dwells in this person. Then maybe we confirm it with conversation. Okay. Now, there's another mark. A third angel in Revelation 14 followed them and said in a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath." Who wants that cocktail? Uh-huh. Okay. The mark of the beast, okay? We think of it as the number 666. And so we think of it as a tattoo on the wrist or on the forehead that's going to say 666, literally. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that the scripture tells us the spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world today. And I believe that you've seen people that have the mark of the beast on them. They're liars. They're thieves. They're untrustworthy. They're out to take advantage of you. They're angry. They're vicious. They're mean-spirited. Okay? Their mind, their actions are controlled by Satan. They're not Christian. Not everyone you meet is a Christian. Not everyone you meet is saved. Some people already have the mark of the beast. Now, here's the good news. Just because you have the mark of the beast today doesn't mean you have to have the mark of the beast tomorrow. No, you can be redeemed. You can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be washed in the blood of Christ. You can be, you know, those people are in the grave. We sang about this tonight. I was in the grave, but God called me out. And now I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out, I'm alive. I had the mark of the beast all over me, but now I have the seal of the Spirit all over me. This is not a terminal issue. Only if I die with it is it terminal. So because I have the mark of the beast tonight does not mean I have to go to bed tonight with the mark of the beast. Or go through life tomorrow with the mark of the beast. The seal of the Spirit is present, and God's just itching for the opportunity to apply it to our lives. Scripture tells us that the angels in heaven rejoice at the salvation of a sinner. So when someone comes to Christ, it's party time in heaven. And God loves to party. I don't care what you think about him, what you've heard about him, what you thought you read about him. He's just a party animal. The streets of heaven are lined with joy. It's love, joy. It's the second fruit of the Spirit that's named. He's full of love. He's full of joy. Gentleness, goodness, meekness, kindness. And the list goes on. That's what it's like in heaven. Every day, all day. You don't walk on eggshells in heaven. I don't want to upset God. He's in a good mood right now. I'm going to keep him that way. No. He's in a good mood all the time. He wants to keep you that way. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Wow. That's how we should think about each other. Give thanks for each other. Remember each other in our prayers. That's what Paul did for the church in Ephesus. I keep asking. Okay, here's his prayer. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Now, let's take this letter another step. He wrote it to the saints at Ephesus, but it's recorded in the scripture. So the Holy Spirit intended it for the church in every place throughout time. So he wrote it about us. And so he's remembering us in his prayers. And so consider that Paul is praying this for you and that we are praying it for each other. And that's what I'm going to encourage us to do when we leave here tonight. This week, let's pray this for each other every day for a week. And then next week, we can do it for another week. But I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will know him better. Not wisdom and revelation so that you know the lottery numbers tomorrow or whatever it is. But that you would know God better. That's priority number one. The better you know God, the more peace, the more love, the more joy you're going to have. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Wow. God's incomparably great power for us who believe. Listen to what this power is. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that God uses on our behalf. It's the same power that called us out of the grave. It's the same power that raised us to life. It's the same power that holds and sustains us and encourages us and keeps us, provides for us, protects us, heals us, encourages us, gives us hope. What power should we fear? No other power. Because that power put Jesus above all others. That's some power. I've said it before a number of times, but I'll say it again just for emphasis. When Satan comes up to God and says, do you want to fight? Want to fight? It's like an ant coming to a bulldozer and say, you want to fight? Who do you think's going to win? How hard is it going to be? I'll tell you how hard it is. When God wanted Satan defeated, scripture tells us, he sent an angel. God didn't even bother going out to the battle. Hey, Micah, go take care of that guy. And he did. Okay? It's an ant to a bulldozer. Any power that comes up against God, it doesn't matter what power that is, it's an ant to a bulldozer. The fight's over before it starts. Hallelujah. So, you know, we can have that experience no matter what's going on around us. Because this is the power that God exerts on our behalf. I want to be part of that God. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. You think we're complete in Christ Jesus? Fills everything in every way? Let's see, what did he miss? It's all covered, isn't it? Yeah. Never will we come to the Father and ask forgiveness and say, I wish I had thought about that sin. I'd have had Jesus pay for it, but, you know, I missed that one. That was not covered. No, no, no. There's no loopholes in God's word. Okay. He's not looking for a way out. No, it's, that's covered. What sin's he talking about? They're covered. God, I got this immovable object, this obstacle that I just can't get over, can't get around it, can't get under it, can't get through it, can't get by it. You want me to just relax and watch what you do? Okay, I can do that. Children of Israel standing at the Red Sea. Here's the Red Sea. Here's the Egyptian army coming with all their chariots and horses and soldiers and swords and spears and bows and arrows. And what are we going to do? God says, just watch. Just watch. Boom. Open sea. Walk through. Sea washes back. No problem. We can trust our God. All we have to do is put our trust in him. All we have to do is receive what he offers us. Grace, peace, adoption, power, love. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Father, thanks so much for all that you accomplished on our behalf. You give us rest when we come to you. We live in a hustle world that is just dog eat dog and every person for themselves. And it's so not like you. Have mercy on us as we've participated in that world. Open our eyes so that we can have wisdom and understanding to see you, to understand you, to know you better, to know the peace, the grace that's ours, the rest that comes through Christ Jesus our Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Move among us tonight. Move in each of our hearts. Show us the Father's love in fresh ways. May we respond humbly, welcoming you, and allowing you to be Lord and Savior. Come, King Jesus. It's in your name we pray. God bless you with an awesome week.